169. I've never really preached on this issue so much, but it's come thou fount. And in 169, look at stanza number 2, it says, "Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come." Now, I'm not sure if everybody's really aware of that word Ebenezer, but you can tell by the following phrase what it kind of means. "Here I raise mine Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come." Ebenezer has something to do with the help of the Lord, doesn't it? It's one of my favorite hymns that we sing. And if you've got your Bible there, it'll go back to 1 Samuel chapter 7. Look at verse number 12. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse number 12. It says, "Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us." All right, so you can see once again the help there is mentioned there in verse number 12. The title for the sermon tonight is Ebenezer, the Lord helped us. Ebenezer, the Lord helped us. Now, if you just do a quick Google definition for the word Ebenezer, it'll come up something like the stone of help. Something like that. Something about the stone. It's got to do with the stone that Samuel set up. This stone was a memorial so that when the Israelites would look upon that stone, they would remember that it's God that has helped us. It's God that has helped us, and it's God that will continue to help us in the future. And that's the whole point. It's about the Lord helping us. And so I wanted to look back at, 2024, and, we've achieved some amazing things in 2024. When I look back, I just can't believe we've done so much in the year that has passed. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. And, it's so interesting because Blessed Hope Baptist Church isn't the largest church. Did you know that? And neither is New Life Baptist Church. And the Lord has allowed us to also minister to Crown Baptist Church. And that is definitely not one of the largest churches. And yet we've done so much in the past year. And, it's good to reflect back and to rejoice and to thank God and to praise God. But we need to remember that it's the Lord that has helped us. It's by His strength. It's by His Spirit. It's by His power that we can do anything as a people of God. And I also want to stop and just say thank you to this church. I want to thank the men who get up to preach on a regular basis. Brother Ash, Brother Rams, Brother Matthew, Brother Tim, Brother Anthony. These men who rotate and are willing to give of their time away from their usual activities and to meditate, study God's Word, and to feed you God's Word. I appreciate these men very much. And for so many of those same men to say, "Hey, Pastor, I'll go to Crown Baptist Church and be a blessing to them as well." And I thank the men who have recently stepped up to be song leaders. Brother Daniel, Brother Nathan, these men have done a great job in the last year, haven't they? They're the better song leaders by far. Not to offend anybody, but I think we all say, yeah, these guys are really great at leading us in praises to God. We want our singing to give God praise, don't we? And so I thank the song leaders and the ones that get up to read the scriptures. You may not be the usual ones that are up the front, but you get up to read the Bible with clarity. And, it's an important ministry of our church. Brother Ash organizes the soul winning events, and Brother Anthony maintains the maps and keeps track of the numbers and all that, which is a great blessing. Brother Daniel Arn, you might not even know, but he stays back so many times after service and gives this place a nice clean. It always looks fresh and clean when we come in here because of Brother Daniel. The ladies that are obviously a help to their husbands and, equip their husbands to be a blessing to this church. But you also come and you bring little, food, a little morning tea and things that we can share and enjoy one with another. So we're not just starving and just rushing to get home after service. So we can stay around, have a bit of fellowship, have some food. I mean, these things are wonderful. Brother Sabi on Sunday organizing the lunch. That Indian, I think everyone enjoyed it, which is great. Just the little things that everybody does. I don't even know who organizes and maintains the resources, like to make sure there's toilet paper, there's cups, there's water. Whoever's doing the work, thank you. I'm losing track of who's doing what. But, I'm so appreciative of this church because, once again, I always say it, this is a church that has a part-time pastor, traveling as I can, and I'm usually exhausted on Thursday. I'm tired. Okay, and I thank you for putting up with me that I can't always be there for you on a regular basis like maybe other pastors can for other churches. But you still put up with me. And as we support one another, we love one another, we fellowship with one another, we serve one another, we are serving the Lord Jesus Christ because the local church is the body of Christ. And so, it's great to look back and it's important it's important to set up a stone of memorial. Now, I'm not saying that we literally have to set up a stone, okay, and call it Ebenezer. But it's important to set up a stone in our hearts and to remember that it's God that has blessed us and equipped us and helped us to do a great work here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Now, before I continue talking about us and our work and our mission here, I want to look back at this story and give you a bit of context of what it's all about. So there in 1 Samuel chapter 7, we're not going to read all the verses, but let me just give you a quick backdrop. Samuel's a judge over Israel at this point in time. It's before the time of the kings. And Israel have gone really bad. Like, they're doing really horribly bad. Just like, I mean, there are times that Israel is just far from the Lord. And once again, we find that Israel are doing what? They're worshipping false gods. Okay, they've gone back and worshipped these false gods. And they've forgotten the Lord, their God. And in 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse number 3, it says, "And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines." We know that the Philistines have been like a number one enemy of Israel over the years, right? And once again, the Philistines are a threat to the children of Israel. And they're afraid. They're like, "God, why aren't you helping us?" Well, the reason God's not helping you is because you've turned your hearts to false gods. And look, it's a time that they need God's help. And brethren, you know what? In 2025, Blessed Hope Baptist Church needs the help of the Lord. So what can we do as individuals to have God's help? Well, the same instruction that we see there in verse number 3. It says, "Return unto the Lord with all your hearts." You know, the first and great commandment is to love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your, I'm missing one, strength, heart, soul, mind. With all your mind. Jesus Christ adds that in the New Testament. With all your mind. You know, that is the first and greatest commandment of all. Well, they've not done that. Their hearts are toward these false gods. It says, "And prepare your hearts unto the Lord." Look at this. "And serve him only." Brethren, our heart's desire ought to be to serve God only. Not to serve mammon. Not to serve this belly, you know, and the lust of the flesh. No, we ought to serve the Lord God only. And if we do that, he's going to deliver us. He's going to help us. He's going to be able to see this church do some great works for him in 2025. Look at verse number 4. "Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Asherah," good on them, "and serve the Lord only. And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord." So they do that. They come to Mizpah, all the children of Israel. They're coming together. They're coming to offer a sacrifice to God. They like their repentance. They're like, "God, you know, you're our only God. We're going to serve you. And by doing this, you're going to help us and you're going to deliver us out of the Philistines' hands." And then verse number 7. "And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, Cease not to cry unto the Lord, our God, for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines." So they want deliverance. They want help from the Philistines, against the Philistines, right? So they do the right thing. Samuel says, "All right, come to Mizpah, come gather together." So they do that. They're doing the right thing. They're following the commandments that the man of God has given them, right? They're turning their hearts to the Lord God. They're doing that which is right. But then the trial comes, and the Philistines hear that they're all gathered in Mizpah. They're in one central location. So the Philistines are like, "All right, this is our chance to wipe them out in one stroke." All right? And you know what? Many times, when you're about to do something great for God, when you're just doing what is right, and you're about to do some amazing work for God, you know who shows up? The Philistines. For us, it's the devil. Okay? The wicked. Those that hate the Lord God. Those that hate the Word of God. You know, the ministers of Satan will often come along and try to tear you down And you're wondering, what have I done? I'm trying to get right with God. I'm trying to walk in His ways. And then, like you think, right? If I just walk in His ways, it's all going to get sorted. Normally, when you take that first step and do what God wants, the Philistines are like, let's take him down now. You know, let's discourage them now before they're able to turn their hearts fully to the Lord God. Look at verse number 10. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. So again, Samuel's doing the right thing, right? He's coming to offer us burnt offering. They're not going to war. They're not ready or prepared for war. They're just trying to get their hearts right. Right? And the sacrifice, and then the Philistines are like, all right, take him down. Now's the time, right? These guys are distracted. They're not ready for battle. They're focused on this sacrifice. They're easy targets. Let's wipe them out. And look what it says in verse number, let's continue verse number 10. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. Brethren, who smote the Philistines? God. What were the Israelites doing? Were they getting their spears and their swords and their shields ready for battle? No. They were just doing what God has asked them to do, right? They were following the Lord faithfully. And the Lord sends a great thunder. And the thundering is so loud, they get discomforted and the Lord smites. I don't know how the Lord smites them with thunder. I mean, often thunder is associated with lightning. So I don't know. I don't know if the lightning strikes were coming down and just wiping out this army. That's possibly what was happening, right? God takes care of the Philistines. And look at verse 11. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethkar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, hitherto have the Lord helped us. So he does the right thing. Samuel says, look, yeah, okay, we kind of got the remaining soldiers at the end, right? They went and chased after the Philistines. But Samuel fully knows, man, the one that delivered us, the one that helped us is the Lord God, right? No praise on man. No, like, I'm Samuel, the man of God. It's because of me. No, he says, no, it's because of the Lord, and we're going to set up a memorial. Let's get this stone. This stone is Ebenezer, and we're going to remember that it's the Lord that has helped us. So that stone represents their help against the Philistines in the past. And it also represents the help that God will give them in the future. It's good to look back at the past. It's good to look back and remember what God has done for us. And then when we're encouraged by that, because sometimes we do get discouraged. Sometimes the Philistines, we like the Philippines, they're good. The Philistines, right? They turn up and they discomfort us, they discourage us. And the Philistines can represent anything, any kinds of trials and difficulties, any kinds of discouragement that may come upon your life. And the Lord is the one I want to remind you today that it's the Lord God that will help you. It's the Lord God that will help Blessed Hope Baptist Church. As I said, the title for the sermon today is Ebenezer, the Lord helped us. The Lord helped us. Now, I want to break down, and look, what I'm about to share is just historical great things in my ministry, okay? And it is from my perspective, okay? It's from my perspective. It's not that I think I'm a great man. In fact, I don't think I'm a great man, to be honest with you. I just think I'm one of you trying to serve the Lord God as faithfully as I can. Okay, but God has done some great things in the ministry, you know. And let me go back to 2017. 2017 is when I got ordained. 2017 is when we packed our bags as our family stepped out in faith, went to the Sunshine Coast and started a church. New Life Baptist Church, it still continues. Praise God there. 2017, it was a great year. It was great to get things started, and it was a bit scary at first, but hey, you know, it is what it is. And you learn over time how to pastor, you learn how to lead, you learn how to draw upon the Lord's strength more so than ever. Then 2018 rolls around, and guess what happens in 2018? We start Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Praise God. Blessed Hope Baptist Church. All right, here in Sydney. That was never the plan. It wasn't my plan. It was meant to be a Band-Aid solution for a temporary issue that was going on. We started Blessed Hope Baptist Church just for a few families traveling here on a, I think it was a Tuesday back then, or was it Thursdays? I can't remember anymore. All right, meeting next door, the building next door, right? Just meeting there. and serving the Lord and trying to keep brethren together, trying to maintain the soul winning that was being done, and encouraging the brethren, teaching God's word. And I praise God for 2018. These are some great things, and we're still here, brethren. Thank you. We're still here. I don't know how you've done. I don't know. It's 2024. Like, I don't know how you've put up with this, pastor. Praise God. Thank you. All right. Then 2019 rolls around, right? We get to our 1 year anniversary. Because Blessed Hope Baptist Church we just called it New Life Baptist Sydney. Okay, and you know, even though I've always viewed it as its own independent church, but we finally gave it its official name, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, which was voted by the members. And we started having our Sunday services, because we were just having midweek services, right? So that was a great achievement, to start having church on Sundays when most people are readily available to be in church. And of course, attendance has grown on Sundays and lessened on Thursdays or midweek. And that's expected. That's natural. That's normal. But I praise God that, you know, God has allowed us to have the Sunday services. And also, in 2019, this was the first time that we started to have interstate soul-winning marathons. Okay, so now we had a church in Queensland. We had a church here in New South Wales. We started to find brethren in other places, like a Melbourne or like an Adelaide. And we started to have soul-winning, not that we traveled to the other states, but we had these mega marathons for Australia and Oceania and Asia and all this. And we had church members from other churches going out soul-winning all on the same Saturday, right, to encourage one another, to do a great work, to share some numbers. That was awesome to be able to, you know, reach not just the two states, but also understand that we've got an influence that's spreading in other places here in Australia. So that's awesome that was what was developed there in 2019. Then 2020 hits, the dreaded COVID year, or one of the dreaded COVID years. Okay, it was the very beginning of it. But it kind of twisted my arm, you may recall, to bring my family back to Sydney for a temporary period of time. And the goal was that we'd be here for 1 year. 1 year. It ended up being a year and a half, and because of border closures and all that kind of stuff that happened. But hey, it was good because there were some issues that need to be dealt with here at the church. So it was great that we could be here. We went to having three services during COVID. It allowed me to be here to be a support to this church, you know, like almost like a full-time pastor for a temporary period of time, which was a real blessing. Then 2021 rolls around, the COVID continued, and this forced our hand to have live streaming because church services couldn't be had in the same way. This caused us to not just have live streaming here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, but at New Life Baptist Church as well. And this started to, you know, it wasn't really the intention to find other people in Australia, but that's what happened. Right? We met our friends that we love and care about, Brother Martin, Brother Emilio. They found us online during these COVID years, via live streaming. And, you know, even though they're not members of our church, as we kind of associate membership, regular attendees, but we love and care about them. You know, I feel like they're part of our church. I feel like they're, you know, we hear about the soul winning that gets done. Even to this day, these two men go out, they've gone out this week. How many souls they had? About 5 souls saved or something like that. I can't remember the numbers right now. These men are doing a great job going soul winning. Hey, thanks to 2021, thanks to COVID, thanks for live streaming, these things that God has allowed us to do. And these are just some of the men. There are other brethren across Australia that have found us, and that, you know, I feel like I'm their pastor because they haven't got a good church to get plugged into, and they reach out and ask questions and they try to visit us when they can. So we praise God for the live streaming that started in 2021. In 2022, we had our first interstate, let's call it a missions trip, right? Our first interstate. What is a missions trip? Say it's going overseas. All right, but here's what's funny. If Americans come to Australia to go soul winning, they call it a missions trip. Why can't we call it a missions trip if we go to Melbourne or something, right? But that was our first interstate missions trip to Melbourne, right? Where there wasn't just a soul winning event going on in Melbourne, but we took some of our church members, some of the members of our churches to be part of that, to go to Melbourne, to take out some silent partners, to train them up in going soul winning, right? To encourage them, to bless them, to tell them, hey, we love you, we care about you, you know. That was awesome. Our first, it wasn't very comfortable, was it, Brother Ash? Sleeping in that bedroom. I had lots of complaints about the Airbnb that I selected in Melbourne that time. But it doesn't matter. There were souls that got saved, and the beds in our mansions in heaven will be much more comfortable, I'm sure. But that was 2022, our first missions trip to Melbourne. That started a chain of events. Because then we have 2023. And in 2023, we had our interstate missions trip to WA. Some of you guys went to WA with us, right? And we went to Perth. We went to Bridgetown. We had a great turnout. We had a, how many baptisms were there in Bridgetown that day? I don't even know anymore. It was crazy. It was something like 8 or 9 baptisms in that freezing cold water. When I walked out of that water, I could barely feel my legs. But I praise God. Praise God for the work that was being done there in WA. We got to meet some other brothers in the Lord, which was wonderful. We got to encourage Brother Daniel Earle. We taught him soul winning. I took him out, and then Brother Callum took him out. And now he's out there in Perth going soul winning. When he finds a partner, he's not going week in, week out like Brother Martin does, but he's going out there on a regular basis. And he keeps me updated. Every time he gets souls saved, he lets me know, we got this many saved this week, praise God. You're like, you know, our churches, our influence, our ministry is affecting more than just our local churches. I want you to understand. And I don't know what you think about like all of this. Like, to me, I just rejoice. I'm like, how did God? It's like, well, God helped us. God did it. It's by His help. It's by His power. It's His strength. It's His love that allows us to reach these other places in Australia. And there are people soul winning. Could you imagine, like, when we get to heaven, there are going to be people that we meet in heaven that will be like, well, it's because of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, New Life Baptist Church. You guys taught some people there in Melbourne, taught some people there in WA to preach the gospel, and I got saved because of these people. I mean, what? That's amazing to glory in these things. And then what, 2024, last year? It's our biggest year ever, okay? We had our first international missions trip to the Philippines, okay? Not the Philistines, the Philippines! Philippines, right? That's where they're receptive to the gospel, right? We went there, and I don't even know how many hundreds got saved. I have no idea what the numbers are. All I know is we smashed our soul winning numbers. Okay, on the Philippines alone. And it was a great time to enjoy each other's company, fellowship, go just... To me, when I go to a place like Philippines, I come back to Australia appreciating this country that God has blessed. Amen. Like, I know cost of living crisis. But when you go to the Philippines and you come back here, there is no cost of living crisis. Like, we all live quite comfortably quite here, okay? All right? I mean, the Philippines have a cost of living crisis. You know, there are people struggling and poor and on the streets and children that are orphans that have nobody to take care of them. Like, that's a different world altogether. So it's good to just go out there and just experience and be able to come back. And instead of, and look, Australia's a weak country, I understand that, but it's also nice to come back and thank God that He has blessed this country and allows us to continue serving Him without persecution. And that the blessings, the opportunities that exist in Australia, that we can do a great work for Him. We went to the Philippines, brethren. Then we went to Fiji. And we smashed it again. I mean, that was a great time. Fiji was probably the highlight for me in 2024, honestly. I found the people to be so beautiful. The people are just wonderful. God-fearing people. Unsaved God-fearing people. And all we need to do is like, you fear God, man, you better fear God. And you know what? God loves you so much. Instead of your works, it's your faith in Christ alone. It's everlasting life. And how many people just received it so gladly. I just praise God for the Fijians. I thank you for those that went out and were part of that work. I mean, we smashed the soul winning numbers that we've ever done year by year. I don't know what they are. I don't really care what they are. God knows what they are. All I know is we smashed it. All in 2024. What else have we done in 2024? Well, this pastor went to New Zealand. Didn't get to do any soul winning, but got to film a documentary, One Salvation. I don't know if you enjoyed it. It was only a 40-minute documentary. But it was great to be part of that, right? And even though I didn't go to New Zealand and win any souls one-on-one, that One Salvation was then played in a youth group, okay? And the youth group of that church invited their friends or unsaved school friends to come and listen to it. And then the gospel was presented at the end, and a large multitude believed on Christ of those young people. That's a great year, 2024. What else? We went to Melbourne again, didn't we? Some of you guys went to Melbourne again. And we had an even bigger turnout this time with a soul winning there in Melbourne. Got to meet other brethren. All right, and praise God, souls were saved. And instead of going door to door, some of us went shops to shops, right, to the malls and the shopping centers, and were able to meet some young people and preach the gospel there in Melbourne. One thing that I found really interesting in Melbourne was that everybody's home. Like, everybody's home. You don't do a lot of walking because Melbourne's always raining, right? Like, in Queensland, you go door to door and no one's home. They're all at the beach. They're at the pools, right? They're at the parks. In Melbourne, everybody's home. And then you got Sydney, it's somewhere in the middle, all right? But anyway, that was interesting, like just being able to see that everybody's home. And I think I got one saved. I believe I did from memory. And it was just a great time to meet other brethren. I mean, this is all done in 2024. And then God opened the doors, you know, there in Port Macquarie, with Crown Baptist Church, all last year, brethren, or this year, I should say, all this year. A third church that I could pastor. Not that I want a third church to pastor. I don't really want that. Just give me one church, Lord, I'm happy. But if God can use us and do some great works for us, it's the one. It's the Lord God who helped us. It's Him. It's His power. And what do we learn? What are we seeing on Port Macquarie? Souls are now getting saved. Door to door, soul winning works no matter where we go. Praise God. Praise God that church has been going for about a year and a half, or a bit more than a year and a half before we took over. They weren't seeing souls saved at the doors, but man, as soon as our influence gets in there, as soon as the soul winning gets cleaned up a little bit, a better presentation, you know, good teaching, souls are now getting saved in Port Macquarie. So I don't know what the Lord has in plan for us in 2025. I know I'm looking at the bigger picture here today, guys. I'm sure there are other great things that God has done over the years. Maybe you individually can look back over the years and say, yes, the Lord has done some great things for me because the Lord has helped. But what do we learn in this story here in 1 Samuel chapter 7? What is a big learning? That when you do what God wants you to do, when you're ready to offer yourself a sacrifice, you know, go and do and serve Him, walk in His ways, and set your heart for Him and Him alone, and you're like, all right, Lord, I'm getting ready for 2025. I'm ready to do what You've asked me to do. I'm looking forward to what You can do through Blessed Hope Baptist Church. The Philistines, they're going to show their face, okay? There's going to be people that will strive to discourage you. And I want you to remember this. This is the battle that we fight. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We understand that. But we are soldiers of the Lord. There is a spiritual battle. The devil doesn't like what Blessed Hope Baptist Church is doing. It doesn't like what New Life Baptist Church is doing. It doesn't like what Crown Baptist Church is doing. It doesn't like what our brethren in Melbourne and Perth are doing when they get out there and see souls saved. The devil doesn't like our influence in the Philippines. He doesn't like our influence in Fiji. The devil is more than happy for the Fijians to be God-fearing people as long as they're on their way to hell. So I want you to understand that there are going to be difficulties. There's always been difficulties over the years. But hey, what do we need to remember? Ebenezer. All right, we need to set a stone in your heart, a stone of memorial. We say, Lord, it's by Your help, it's by Your strength that we can do anything. When you remember that it's the Lord and you get discouraged, you've got a comforter to go to, right? When you feel like quitting, you say, I'm done. I'm done with church. I'm done with serving the Lord. Yeah, if you're relying on your strength and your flesh, you will be done. But when you rely on the Lord, He gives you a strength, a power, the ability. He'll equip you because He wants His kingdom to go throughout this whole world. And He will utilize you. He will utilize Blessed Hope Baptist Church, even though we're not this mega church, but we're doing some mega works for the Lord. So I want you to remember, Ebenezer, the Lord helped us. It's by the Lord's strength. Now, I've rattled off a whole bunch of positive things that I remember from a high level, from 2017 to 2024. You know, 2025, what's the plan, Pastor? I don't know. Okay, I don't think we're going to... Look, I'll be surprised if we do equal or more than we did in 2024. I'll be surprised. I don't think we're going to be doing anywhere near as much. It doesn't matter, though. All right, we do what God equips us to do. The resources, the abilities that God gives us, we give it to the Lord, we serve Him. There is one thing I definitely want to do, I definitely want to send 2 people every year to Fiji to go soul winning. All right, let me know if that's you. You say, Pastor, it's me. Me in 2025. It's my turn to get out there. All expenses paid, except your food. All right, flights, accommodation, all covered for a whole week. All right, now if you want to go for 2 weeks, you can cover the accommodation for the next second week. All right, you do what you need to do. We'll send 2 of you out there from whatever church, Crown Baptist, New Life, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, all right, to continue serving the Lord. I want to, find a good church, lock in a good sound church, a good pastor there in Fiji, that we can work together with him, that, you know, these souls that we see get saved, we can point them to this good church. So if the Lord can help us find that church to, cooperate with and to bless and to help, then praise God. Maybe that's God's intention for us there in 2025. You know, what else? What else do we need to get done? I'm not sure. A building? A new building. We probably need a new building. As a lot of little ones, brethren, we need a place to meet. Yeah, we most definitely need a new building, okay? So please keep your eyes open, keep your ears open. But again, look, there are things that we need to achieve. There are things that we need to do as a church. And I hope that as your pastor, as your leader, an example, I can help you along this journey. But brethren, I need you guys. And, you know, we need the help of the Lord to equip all of us to serve Him faithfully. But as I said, when we do great things, there are great difficulties. There are great difficulties. I praise God for 2017, right? I said, I got ordained. Sunshine Coast, start New Life Baptist Church. Praise God. But there were difficulties. There were Philistines. There were challenges. I started that church in the midst of a Trinity versus oneness controversy. All right? A lot of people were against me, okay? Because they thought I was like a oneness believer, even though I've never believed that garbage. I've always taught right on the Trinity, all right? But people like to throw you in, oh, that guy's a oneness, and what's he going to do? And start some wicked church, some corrupt church there in the sunny coast. People were ready to tear me down even before I started to pastor. The Philistines were ready to tear them down even before they got their hearts right with the Lord to do something great for Him. Reverend, there's always some type of difficulty. 2018, I had to break fellowship with my sending pastor over this very issue, over oneness. Okay? And then, when you break fellowship with your sending pastor, what happens? People start to claim you have some ulterior motives. They start to question whether you're truly biblically ordained to begin with. I mean, if you broke the fellowship of the one that ordained you, then surely you can't be ordained yourself. And so there's always been challenges. There's always been criticisms. And I don't know why, because I think I'm a pretty good, happy person, easy to get along with, I thought. People like to challenge and criticize, and they don't want to see a great work done for God. I don't know. You know, that's the devil. He puts these crazy desires, crazy thoughts in the hearts and minds of people. And all you want to do is serve the Lord, and people just want to tear you down. And you think it's always the Philistines, but sometimes it's your own brethren. Did you know that? Sometimes it's other believers. I don't know why. Okay, their hearts aren't right with God at that point in time. They can't see clearly, whatever it is. All right, so that's 2018. I was challenged whether I was truly classified as an ordained pastor because I had to break fellowship with my sending pastor. 2019, I was racking my head. What happened in 2019? I think it was a relatively peaceful year, actually. Hope so. I don't know. Maybe if I go back and really think hard, I'll probably find some challenges to the ministry. But I think 2019 was a relatively peaceful year. Praise God. You need a break sometimes, all right? Can't always be battled. Sometimes you need to rest, all right? And recharge your battles. Recharge your batteries to get ready for the battles. Then 2020, we talked about how COVID comes along, boy. And COVID was wonderful in the sense that I was able to come and help lead this church because obviously the conditions, the mandates, all that stuff was much stricter here in Sydney than it was on the sunny coast. You know, on the sunny coast during COVID, most people just went about their normal lives, barely noticing any differences. But over here, and especially in Melbourne, but over here, right, where I had the church, there were some great difficulties here. And this led to disagreements amongst church brethren as to how well I was leading this church over COVID. You know, I don't think our pastor's doing the best that he can for us during COVID. I don't think he's making the right decisions. all right, trying to, which kind of started to eventuate, right? Taking us to 2021, an attempt to tear this pastor away from this ministry here, of this church. In 2021, there was an attempt for me to step away as the pastor of this church, a rebellion. And we had the border closures as well, right? So I'm here in Sydney. My heart, of course, is my main church, New Life Baptist Church, and my goal was to visit them week in, week out, but the border closures made it very difficult. With New Life Baptist Church and being unable to frequently visit New Life Baptist Church, that church lost half its attendance. We maintained our core numbers, but all the newer members that were added to the church, I was unable to visit, I was unable to really be there, and in due time, that church loses half its attendance. As I said, there was an attempt to remove me as the pastor here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Okay, and I believe the core issue came down to how I was managing the church during COVID. Okay. Now, look, there are great things that have happened. We talked about how COVID brought the live streaming, brought our influence to other places in Australia. But I don't want you to forget the difficulties, the challenges, the heartbreaks, all right, the backstabbing, the betrayals. All that stuff goes on too when you're doing something great for God. It's just part of it. It's part of the package. All right. What else? 2022. Actually, 2022 was pretty relatively peaceful as well. Praise God. Needed a break after all that COVID garbage. All right. After 2022 was relatively peaceful. Then comes 2023. All right. And there are calls that I'm a disqualified pastor because of some family challenges that we're facing. All right. Sorted out after a few months. Not a big deal. Got all sorted. All right. But hey, when people want to tear you down, when the Philistines see weakness, they want to attack. They want to tear down churches. They want to destroy pastors. And brethren, you know me, man, before I'm probably the person that wants to step down the most as a pastor. Okay, people don't have to tell me you should step down. Because if I had a reason to step down, I would have done it a long time ago. All right, my family comes first. But then what happens? People criticize you. They criticize your family. They criticize you as a pastor. You're unqualified. It's like, man, I thought we were friends. I thought I had your back and you had my back. And, you know, we're going to serve the Lord till he comes back. You know, and people break your heart. That's what it is, brethren. Then 2024, all right? 2024, the greatest year of works that we've done as a church. But it's been a challenging year. Again, I had some claims that I was an unbiblical pastor. Say, why were you an unbiblical pastor? Because another pastor in America preached something about the Trinity that I never said. But because something about the Trinity was said that was disagreed with, I'm an unbiblical pastor. It's like, what? What does it have to do with me? Well, I'm focused on New Life, Blessed Hope, the Crown Baptist Church. This is the environment that God's given me. This is the responsibility that he's given me. I could care less about what's going on the other side of the world. But people, I don't know, it's just people, they want to attack, they want to criticize. Okay? Look, again, just you need to get used to it. I'm trying to explain something. Okay? Look, if God was not my helper, I would have quit a long time ago. If getting into ministry and doing a work for the Lord was just my strength, my efforts, my abilities, you know, this church would have collapsed. I would have stepped down a long time ago. I want you to understand it's because of the Lord. He's our helper. He's our Ebenezer. Okay? He'll get us through this coming year. What else? We had the greatest soul winning numbers ever. 2024. Any good pastor would rejoice. Any good church would rejoice. And there were good churches and good pastors that disagree with me on the end times, but they can rejoice at souls getting saved because they know what the main things are. And so what happens? My best friend pastor, my own familiar friend, has to get out there and publicly criticize the soul winning. Like, where did that come from? Friend? You betrayed me with a kiss? It's like, why? What? What does it have to do with anything? Like, we're trying to get... Oh, we don't think the numbers are right. Okay, who cares? God knows the numbers. God knows who truly got saved. And the, you know, there are probably people that we think didn't get saved, that got saved. There were some that got the that we think got saved, that didn't get saved. It doesn't matter. We're going out there. We're doing a great work. We're investing our time, our efforts. We're taking time off work. We're using church funds, personal funds. We're doing a great sacrifice. All right, what, for the praise of men? No, for the kingdom of God. I've never seen, I'm being honest here, I've never seen the numbers that we got out there in Fiji. In Australia, we had about 25. Blessed Hope, New Life, other brethren in other places in Australia. Get out there, I think there was about 9, 10, 11 churches represented from Australia. From Australia and New Zealand. And New Zealand, okay. I kind of love New Zealand sometimes, okay? But man, that's a great work. Like, and you criticize that? And you discourage people? And you're like, what in the world? Why? Philistines. The devil. Okay? Envy. Corruption. Wickedness. Sinful man. Is what it is. And by the way, I'm a sinful man too. We're all sinful men. We all have struggles. Okay? And here's the thing. Like, and it's the greatest year. It's some of the greatest struggles. I lost a great number of members at New Life Baptist Church again this year. Over because of what one pastor said in another country about the Trinity. And then toward the end of this year, guess what? Another pastor with his family problems that have nothing to do with me. I barely know the man. I barely know the family. It has nothing to do with me. Has nothing to do with you. Has nothing to do with New Life or Crown Baptist Church. And there are people that want to go, what do you have to say about the matter? You know, trying to create division in churches, create division amongst friends. Yeah, people are going to have different opinions about some issue on the other side of the world. Who cares? We've got a work to do here in Sydney, on the sunny coast, in Port Macquarie, in Australia, in Melbourne, in Perth. There's a great work. There's a great need that needs to be fulfilled. And God has been using us. And brother, I'm not trying to discourage you. I'm just trying to say, look, hardships are going to... And look, probably some of these things... there's probably other things that you know about that I don't even know about. Some other difficulties, some other challenges. Something else the devil has decided to throw in the mix of things to try to stop us from serving him faithfully. Brethren, there's a title, you know, title for the sermon is Ebenezer, the Lord has helped us. The Lord has helped us. You know, I'm doing the best I can as a pastor, but if it's just me, forget about it. This should have collapsed a long time ago. It's Christ that builds his church. It's Christ's kingdom. And all we are ambassadors. We're just an empty vessel, hopefully a clean vessel that God can use by the power of his Holy Spirit to do a great work for him. And brethren, you know what? I'm not distracted by the difficulties. All right? We're not going to allow ourselves to get distracted by the Philistines. All right? God can send his thunders. God can scatter the wicked, scatter the criticism. Right? God can restore. People that have been enemies in the past, guess what? They can be my friends too. Just like the Israelites of old in this chapter, their hearts weren't in the right place. Okay? And maybe your hearts have not been in the right place in 2024. Right? We get our hearts solely upon the Lord. We serve him only. And we get out there and we do some great works. I don't care if a former enemy comes together. We go and work together. Praise God. We do it for Jesus Christ. I'm ready to forgive and forget. I've already forgiven in my heart. I don't care anymore. I'm just trying to tell you that we've got some great works to do. God will continue using his church. But there's going to be great challenges as well. And I want you to know that I've got your backs. And please have my back. Because it's hard to be in the ministry. It's a hard work. Okay? Now, you're in 1 Samuel chapter 7. Look at verse number 14. 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse number 14. It says, "And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel. from Ekron even unto Gath, and the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines, and there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. What I love about the story is we see Israel reclaiming their land. And what's happened in 2024? We've reclaimed, well, we've claimed Port Macquarie. And parts of Fiji and parts of the Philippines. Thank you, brother. Sorry, sister. I like the Philippines. I like the Philippines. Man, I can barely speak now. But God's opening some land for us, all right, some places that we can continue doing some great work for Him. But we need the Lord to help us. We need the Lord to drive away the difficulties and the problems and the criticism. Okay? It's not a battle that we need to fight. Okay? Leave it to God, and we focus on reclaiming the cities that God allows us to claim. Look at verse number 15. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. I would love that to be my case. I would love to be a pastor all the days of my life. I don't know if that's going to happen. I hope it does. Please pray that it does. If that's the Lord's will for my life, I would love that. And what I love about verse number 16, it says, and he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah and judged Israel in all those places. That's like me. And he went from year to year in circuit to the sunny coast and Sydney and Port Macquarie, and judged in all those places. What a responsibility, right? What this shows me, Samuel had a big job to do. Like, he was one of these judges, and he had to go from place to place because Israel was not in the greatest place, you know, to have other men who could judge and lead Israel. Brethren, we need leaders. We need pastors. We need a pastor over Port Macquarie. We need a pastor here at Blessed Baptist Church. We could start a church tomorrow in Melbourne if we had a man that was ready to sacrifice himself, time, go to another place and get things started. That can be one of the biggest churches, you know, there in Melbourne. That Melbourne needs a good church, okay? Even Perth. There are places that we need men of God to step up and be pastors, to be judges, all right? It gets tiring going from, you know, all these places. I'm sure Samuel was tired, right? Going from Bethel to Gilgal to Mizpah and judging in all those places. Can you come with me to Psalm 12? Come with me to Psalm 12. Come with me to Psalm 12. Psalm 12. I thank God that He allows me to travel to Sydney and Port Macquarie now. And I've been doing this, brethren, since 2018. Pretty much every week. Let's just say 40 times a year since 2018. And I don't know. I said at the beginning I'll do it for 10 years. And I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know. Maybe it was the Holy Spirit speaking on my behalf. I don't know. But anyway, the Lord knows why I said those words. And I feel like I have to commit to that time period, at least, at the very least. But Psalm 12, Reverend, we need the Lord's help. All right, here's our Ebenezer. The Lord helped us. And in Psalm 12, verse number 1, Psalm 12, verse number 1, the Bible says, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men. They speak vanity, everyone, with his neighbor. With flattering lips and with double heart do they speak. Yeah. Brethren, we need godly men. We need God. We need to go to God and say, God, help us. We need godly men. The godly men cease us. Everyone else has flattering lips and backstabbers and all this. Brethren, I want to quickly appoint pastors, but I don't want to rush it. We need godly men, qualified men, faithful men, men with the wisdom of the Scriptures that are willing to say, oh, Lord, if it's your will, Lord, give me the desire. There's a work to be done. Things are getting darker here in Australia. We need more churches. We need more soul winning. We need more leaders. We need more judges. Maybe it's you. I don't know. I never thought it would be me, to be honest. I didn't think it'd be me. But we need more men. You know, we need more churches. We need more soul winning. We need more work. And the one we run to, we need to go to God. God, help us. God, make it clear which man will be ready to step up to do a great work for you. Come with me to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, 39. Psalm 37, 39. Psalm 37, 39. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. We need our Lord's help. In 2025, you're going to go through tribulations. You're going to go through hardships. And you know what? It's going to happen when you prepare yourself to serve the Lord. Yeah. Whenever the next missions trip is, I don't know when it's going to be or what it is, or you say, I'm going to go to Port Macquarie, I'm going to go encourage the brethren there, I'm going to go soul winning, I'm going to go to that. Whatever it is, something's going to happen. I want you to get ready for it. I want you to get prepared for it. I want you to go, God, the devil doesn't want me to do a work for you. Please help me in the time of trouble to come. And when the trouble comes, Lord, you heard my prayer. Please help me. You're my strength. You're my deliverer. Brethren, it's the Lord that helps. It's the Lord that empowers us. Psalm 94, please. Psalm 94, verse number 16. Psalm 94. Psalm 94, verse number 16. Psalm 94, 16. Who will rise up for me against the evildoers? Who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? The psalmist is asking the question, who's going to fight for me? Who's going to stand for me? It's like the Israelites of old. The Philistines are here. Who's going to deliver us? Who's going to help us? Samuel asked the Lord to help us. Verse number 17. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. He goes, man, if not for God, I would have been almost dead. I'd be dead, basically. I've quit. I would have quit a long time ago. Unless the Lord had been my help. Brethren, these last, 2019, 2020, 2021, 2022, 2023, 2024 is past. We celebrated 6 years. We haven't done 7 years, have we? Yet as a church. Okay, I'm losing track of things now. I don't know. 6 years. Man, the Lord has helped us. This church would have crumbled a long time ago. This pastor would have quit a long time ago. Somehow, it's the Lord. It's his help. All right? Remember that. Remember, it's the Lord who will stand for you. You don't need to go and fight every battle. Don't get distracted by every battle. All right? Let God deal with it. Even the psalmist says, look, who's going to stand for me? Okay, God, you're the one. You've been my help. Otherwise, my soul would have been silent. Come with me to one more passage in Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Actually, it's the second last passage. Mark 9, please. Mark 9, verse number 23. What else do we need help with, brethren? Mark 9. Mark 9. And, you know, I often say this, and I do mean it. I don't think I'm a very faith-filled man. Now, our faith is on Christ Jesus, salvation, praise God. All right? But I also have a lot of concerns, and there are things that boggle my mind sometimes, right? And sometimes I share it with others, and they're like, don't worry, Pastor. Have faith in the Lord. It's all going to get sorted. Like, that person is full of faith. It's like, don't worry. It's all sorted. The Lord knows. It's done. Forget about it, Pastor. I'm like, no, but I'm still thinking about it. So I feel like that's one of my weaknesses. That, you know, others have other strengths, and praise God for that strength if you're that kind of person. But in Mark 9, we have a story of a man who's got a child who's a lunatic, right? And he goes to Jesus to heal his child, to heal his son. And in Mark 9, 23, it says, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. God says, just believe. Just have faith. All things are possible. That's what my brethren say to me. Pastor, don't worry. It's all solid. Just believe. Right? Like, yeah, okay. And look at verse 24. And straightway, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Because I do believe, but I still have unbelief. Can you help my unbelief? The Lord is our Ebenezer. Brethren, if you're lacking in faith, if you're lacking in faithfulness, you know who's going to help you with that? The Lord. Say, Lord, I do believe. I know you got a great job for Blessed Hope Baptist Church and New Life and Crown in 2025, Lord. I believe it, but help my unbelief. Because I don't know how you're going to utilize us. I don't know the resources are going to come from. I don't know where the new building is going to come from, if that's the Lord's will. Lord, I don't know where these new pastors are going to come from. Lord, I don't know how much you're going to sustain me to do my yearly circuit, you know, to three different places. But Lord, we need your help. Come with me to one more passage, John 15. This is the last one. Last one, John 15. Title for the sermon was Ebenezer, the Lord helped us. The Lord helped us. And Brent, when I gave you all these great things we've done over the years in ministry, and of course I'm talking about from my perspective, I don't want to be the hero of the story. I don't want to be the hero. You know, I want to be just your brother in the Lord, you know, many regards. And I thank you for the hard work that you've done, you know, being a blessing to this church in all the different areas of your life. You know, the soul win gets done. For your friendship, for your prayers. Thank you for your church attendance. And it'd be very hard if it was just me and me, right, on a Thursday. Or me and the Lord. It'd be very hard to just run church. So thank you for coming. It's a real blessing. But it's a team effort. We know these verses here in John 15. Jesus Christ says these words in John 15, verse number 4. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. Brethren, we learn a very important truth here. If we want to bear fruit, and we've done so, but we want to continue bearing more fruit, and more fruit, and more fruit, we want to do more for the Lord. Brethren, I'm dependent on you to abide in Christ. Please don't get distracted by this world. Look, we need to deal with the world. We need to work. We need to pay bills. We need to interact. We need to live. Understand? But this world can be very distracting. Throws a lot of temptations at you. A lot of wickedness. A lot of discouragement. This world will throw at you. But when that happens, brother, I need you to just abide in the vine. Like, it's great if I'm abiding in the vine and Brother Ash is abiding in the vine. Like, we'll get some fruit. But how can we be more fruitful is this, if each one of our branches here abides in Christ? How much more fruit can we bring forth? Like if you had a tree and only one branch is bringing forth fruit, or five branches are bringing forth fruit, but the other 20 branches are not bringing forth fruit, you say, well, it's not been as productive as it can be. But what if all the branches are bringing forth fruit? The tree is doing its maximum produce because everybody is carefully abiding in Christ Jesus. I want that to be your challenge coming in 2025. Say, Pastor, I'm going to abide in Christ Jesus. I'm going to stay close by Him because without Him, I can't be fruitful. Without Him, I can't pastor. Without Him, we've got no Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Okay, we need to continue abiding in Christ. Look at verse number 5. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Boy, that's true. Without the Lord's help, we can do nothing. Without the Lord's help, you'd be on your way to hell. But without the Lord's help, Blessed Hope Baptist Church can do nothing. Did you know that? So all the great things we've done, and we've done some great things. Set your Ebenezer stone. Remember what God has done. Look back at the past and rejoice in the past. And remember that God can do some great things in us. But when we rejoice and we highlight those things that we've accomplished, it's God that did it. It's Christ that did it through us. Without Him, we do nothing. And brethren, we've done some great things. You know why? Because we abide. We abode. We abided. One of those. In Christ. All right, continue doing it in 2025. The title for the sermon was Ebenezer, the Lord helped us. Let's pray.